Who are some of the early candidates to be considered amongst the Bubble Boys? I've got a long list and I'm going to share it with you coming up next on the Locked On Giants podcast.
You are Locked On Giants, your daily New York Giants podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello, New York Giant fans, and welcome to another edition of the Locked On Giants podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast family, your team every day. My name is Patricia Chan. I'm your host, and thank you so much for making the Locked On Giants podcast your first listen of the day, or if watching on YouTube, your first watch of the day. And we're just continuing on with our coverage. The Giants still finishing up their OTAs. They've got one today on Tuesday, day off Wednesday, and then they've got two on one a day each on Thursday and Friday. Thursday, of course, is media access. I'll be there. And I will, of course, give you a thorough report once we are finished. And then next week, it's going to be the conclusion of the spring football practices with the mandatory mini camp. And all these workouts, by the way, are going to be padless. So there's not going to be any contact, but it's all about teaching and learning. And jobs aren't going to be won or lost. They're never really won or lost in the springtime. But that being said, we can kind of start to put together a list of what I call bubble boys, guys whose roster spots might be in jeopardy for various reasons. And I put together a list of about seven guys that I think are really going to have an uphill battle to make this roster. I really could have added an eighth, but I couldn't come up with which guy out of the group that I was eyeballing might be on the bubble. But I'll talk about that a little bit later. I want to go through my list and tell you why I think these guys are bubble boys. And then I will tell you about that mysterious eighth one that I couldn't make up my mind. And, you know, maybe you'll have thoughts on it. I don't know, but that's today's show's agenda. All right. I'm going to start off with my list. Now, I arranged this list in no particular order. So these are just names as I was going down the Giants 90-man roster. These are names that just kind of jumped out at me for one reason or another as potential bubble boys. And I'm going to start off with one that I think is kind of obvious. I've had some people who I've mentioned this to say that it's not necessarily an obvious one, but I think it is. And that is slot cornerback Darnay Holmes. Now, here's the thing. Darnay Holmes hasn't been a total disaster. Yes, he has had some penalty issues. Last year, he led the Giants defense. Matter of fact, he led the Giants period in penalties. There were some plays that he missed. And it just seems that every year, the Giants seem to be drafting for that slot cornerback position. So the way I kind of see it, and obviously injuries can affect how this plays out, but the way I see it is your starting corners are going to be Adoree Jackson and Deonte Banks. So where do you put Cordell Flott and where do you put Aaron Robinson if those guys are healthy? The answer in the slot. Because those two guys played in the slot in college and it just makes too much sense. So now you potentially have three guys competing for that slot position. Now, Darnay Holmes also carries a near $3 million cap hit. I don't see the Giants keeping him under any circumstances on that cap hit. So I got to think, and I could be wrong here, but you know, Flott last year was a draft pick of this current regime. Aaron Robinson was a high premium type of draft pick. You know, they both have size, which Darnay Holmes really doesn't have. So to me, it just makes too much sense for one of those guys to become the main slot guy. Now, the Giants will, of course, probably rotate guys into the slot at that slot cornerback position. But I just have a feeling that Darnay Holmes, who's entering the last year of his contract, I'm not so sure if he's going to be able to finish it. Now, right now, you can make the case that he has played it the best out of all the guys that have, you know, that they have on the roster, because we haven't really seen Aaron Robinson play it since he's been a pro because he's been injured. You know, Flott didn't really play it much last year. He was more or less on the outside. That's a competition certainly to keep an eye on. And if I had to make up my 90-man roster right now, I don't think I would have Darnay Holmes on it. And it's not because I don't like the kid. I do. But I think the handwriting is starting to form on the wall for him. So he's first on my list of bubble boys. This next one, and I'm sure this next one is going to draw a lot of surprise, maybe a little outrage, maybe a little, what the heck are you talking about, Pat? But I got to put it on the list because, and well, I'll tell you why. Wide receiver Colin Johnson. I know everybody's sitting there, or some of you are sitting there going, what the heck are you talking about? Colin Johnson? Seriously? Hear me out, guys. All right. We know Colin Johnson is coming off of the Achilles injury suffered last summer. He's going to be healthy. He's going to be able to compete. The Giants receiver group right now is loaded. Absolutely loaded. So if we had a plan who was going to make the cut at receiver today, these who the first guys I would pick, obviously, Paris Campbell, Hodgins, Slayton, Hyatt. That's four right there. Now, do you keep Jeff Smith, possibly, for special teams? Do you keep Jamison Crowder, since it's probably a long shot that Sterling Shepard and Wandale Robinson will be ready to go by training camp, let alone the season? I could see that happening. And then how many receivers do you end up keeping, actually? You know, are you going to maybe, you know, since you want to play more 12 personnel this year, you're obviously going to keep three tight ends. So do you need to keep seven receivers, or can you get by with six? You know, to me, I look at Colin Johnson and I look at Isaiah Hodgins, and I almost see the same type of player, with Hodgins just being, you know, obviously a little bit more experience. So I'm not saying that there won't be room for Colin Johnson on the practice squad, but I just have this gut feeling that he's on the bubble. And I know it's not fair because, you know, like I said, he's coming off of an injury, but I just, that receiver group is loaded. And I don't think there's going to be room for him on the 53. You know, again, especially if they keep an extra tight end. So sorry, Colin Johnson fans. I know some of you have asked me, you know, might he even be the number one receiver or compete for the number one receiver? At this point, he's got to compete to stay on the roster at the bottom end of the depth chart, let alone, you know, where he's going to position in the top three. Sorry, guys. That's just my take. All right. Number three on my list. And this is a guy, it's interesting. We just did a player profile on this guy. And I referred to him when I wrote the headline as the forgotten man. And sure enough, people, you know, who read the article and responded said, oh my gosh, you're right. I did forget about this guy. Offensive lineman J.C. Hassenauer. Remember him, folks? You know who I'm talking about? He was the guy whom the Giants signed from the Pittsburgh Steelers. A pure center who can also play some guard before they drafted John Michael Spitz. Now, here's the thing with Hassenauer. He was signed to a one-year veteran minimum deal, which means if they cut him, it's not going to cost them a whole lot in dead money. But here's the thing. I think we can all agree that if John Michael Spitz is healthy, he's the starter. Now, who's the backup? Interesting here, right? Well, they have Jack Anderson, who can play center. Ben Bredesen, who can play center. All right. I think Shane Lemieux dabbled in it a little bit, but I'm pretty sure that that experiment is kind of over with him. But the way I see it is if they need a backup center, which they will, I have a feeling it's going to be Bredesen, because Bredesen's versatility, you know, Bredesen's going to compete for the starting left guard job, which I'll get to in a moment. Spoiler alert. but I could see him being the backup left guard, the backup center, which would mean that maybe there's no room for Hasenauer. So, you know, this is just a gut feeling I have. Obviously, the players haven't put the pads on. There's been no contact in these spring workouts. So we'll see what happens when the pads go on. But I would not be stunned if Hasenauer is on the bubble going into training camp. Okay, got a bunch more. So I'm going to take a quick break, and then I'll tell you who else is on the list right after this. Hey, Giant fans, get in on all the sports action with FanDuel, America's number one sports book. Right now, FanDuel is giving new customers a no-sweat first bet up to $2,500 back in bonus bets when their first bet doesn't win. Just go to FanDuel.com/LockedOn and sign up today to claim your no-sweat first bet. FanDuel offers great promotions, a safe and secure app to set your bets up, and instant payments. Make every moment more with FanDuel, official sports betting partner of the NFL. All right, Giant fans, welcome back to the Locked On Giants podcast. I'm your host, Patricia Traina, and we're just rolling right along here on Locked On Giants, you know, just bringing you new content the rest of the week, every day, Monday through Friday, like we've been doing. Now, those of you who watch over on the YouTube channel, I posted a little poll asking you what you thought about the down period, you know, because I'm kind of tempted to continue doing 5 days a week for, you know, through the down period, even though there's not going to be much news. I'm sure I have enough content that I can give you five shows a week. But a lot of you kind of already weighed in and said, hey, why don't you take some time off? And just this way you're fresh for training camp. So that being said, those of you who are listening to me on my audio platforms, or who are hearing this for the first time on YouTube, let me know what you think. If you want shows 5 days a week during the downtime, I mean, technically, we can go to a summer schedule here on the Locked On NFL Network. So all the NFL writers can, or podcasters, I should say, can go down to 3 days a week, Monday, Wednesday, Friday. So, you know, listen, I aim to give you guys and gals what you want. If you think, you know, I can get by on three shows, I'll do three shows. If you want four, I'll do four. You want five, I'll come up with content for five. Doesn't matter to me. Sometimes I could, during the summer, it's so slow, I can knock out three shows in one day and not have to worry about it. So anyway, let me know what you think. And also, for those of you who haven't checked it out, check out our subtext community. I'm already planning a potential live chat with subscribers to that community. I'm not sure exactly how we're going to do it. We might do it on Twitter Spaces, but it's an opportunity for me to really interact with you guys. And so far, I've been interacting with the people who have signed up, who have texted me. I've texted them back. And it's been great for me. I hope it's been great for those of you who have signed up. And I hope y'all will check it out. Details are in the show notes. And we are running that special 2-for-1. So after your free 14-day trial, when you sign up with the promo code PTRAIN, link of which is in the show notes again, you'll get 2 months for the price of one. 1 month is normally $4.99. So you'll get 2 months for the price of one. So check that out and see if that might be something you might be interested in, because I am trying to keep in touch with the people that signed up for that little community. We got a nice little community going. So, all right, let's get back to the list of bubble boys on the Giants roster. Now, this is a very preliminary list, but I think this list is probably going to hold true once training camp opens. This next one, I went back and forth on this one. Deshaun Corbin versus Gary Brightwell. Which one of those two might be a bubble boy? I think I'm going to list both of them because I think whoever wins the competition, the other one's going to go to the practice squad. Matt Breida is only under contract for 1 year. Saquon Barkley will probably come in and play on the franchise tag for 1 year. The only guys then who are really under contract for multiple years are Brightwell and Eric Gray. So if I'm the Giants, I probably don't want to lose both of those guys, but I don't think they can keep both Corbin and Brightwell on the roster. I just don't see that being possible. I mean, you would have then Barkley, Breida, Gray, Corbin, and Brightwell, five running backs. I don't see that happening. So one of those two, Corbin or Brightwell, is going to be a bubble boy. Now, Brightwell, of course, has special teams experience, but, you know, look, with the kickoff, I wonder if the kickoff, the change in the rule maybe saves Brightwell, because he has experience fielding kickoffs, which has that end-over-end rotation on the ball. So maybe that rule might save him, whereas Corbin maybe goes back to the practice squad. But that's a competition, obviously, that's going to have to take place and unfold. And right now, I had to take a guess as to which of the two is going to end up on the practice squad. Going to be Corbin, would be my guess. So we'll see on that. All right, next up on the list of bubble boys, offensive tackle Matt Paert. Now, the Giants need a swing tackle. They're going to hold the competition for a swing tackle. But they have Tyree Phillips, a guy who they seem to like and seem to turn to a little more often than Paert. Devery Hamilton can also play tackle. He can also play guard. Matt Paert, on the other hand, is strictly a tackle. So the reason why I have him on the bubble is twofold. Number one, for a third round pick, and yes, I know he got injured, but for a third round pick, hasn't really kind of stood out in any way. You know, he's been okay when pressed into action, but you watch and you say, you know, you could probably do better at the position. I don't think Paert plays guard. Now, I don't know if they've been working him inside a guard this spring. I'll have to, you know, I'll see if I can find that out, but like I said, Phillips and Hamilton, I believe, can play guard. So right there would give them an advantage in a swing tackle competition. So Paert, definitely a guy I think is on the bubble for the Giants. Staying with the offensive line, another guy who I wonder if he's on the bubble, Shane Lemieux. Now, look, I hate putting a guy on the bubble because he's had injury issues, which Shane Lemieux has had in each of the last 2 years. But here's the thing. If he's no longer working at center, and I don't believe he is, and I will find out for sure if that's the case, but I don't believe he is anymore, then that leaves him as discard. And if you're not versatile enough to play two positions on that offensive line, chances are you're not going to make that roster over somebody who is versatile enough to play multiple positions. So, you know, you look at the left guard competition, and there will be a competition. I think Joshua Zudu, if healthy, is the favorite. Ben Bredesen is certainly in the mix. Lemieux will compete for that position. So will Jack Anderson, who can play guard and tackle. So I think that's a lot of guys competing. And let's not forget about Marcus McKeithen too. I keep forgetting about him, but I shouldn't. I think McKeithen eventually, maybe they look at him at, you know, for the right side when Glowinski's contract is up. I'm not so sure if there's going to be room for Lemieux. You know, he's a feisty player. He did well in his rookie campaign when he came in for like the last eight games of the season. But gosh, those injuries and the fact that they've added to that interior offensive line, I don't know. I think right now he might have an uphill battle to stick on the roster. I really do. Hate to say it, but, you know, that's how I see it based on how the depth chart, the preliminary depth chart that I've kind of put together in trying to forecast what might happen. All right, two more I'll give you. Defensive lineman DJ Davidson. Davidson made the roster last year. He was a draft pick. I do not think he's going to make the roster this year, if assuming, of course, he doesn't end up on PUP. Davidson is coming off of a torn ACL. I think he suffered that in week 5 last year. He may not be ready for the start of camp. I don't know. Probably not. They'll probably want to have him rehab a little bit longer. But either way, the fact that the Giants signed A'shaun Robinson and Raheem Nunez-Roches and drafted Jordan Riley for that defensive line depth, that tells me that, you know, there might not be room for Davidson, even if he is healthy. Now, I don't think they'll give up on Davidson if he's healthy. I think he'll go to the practice squad. But again, we're talking 53-man roster. And I just don't think there's going to be a spot for him, even if he's able to compete, like I said, this summer. I'll give you one more, and then I want to circle back to the other guy that I was talking about, the position I was talking about that I couldn't quite make up my mind. But this one, I think I can make up my mind based on what I've kind of seen so far. And that's cornerback Amani Oruwari. Now, Oruwari was signed this past offseason as a free agent. He used to be a starter for the Lions, lost his mojo, lost his starting job, lost his roster spot. You know, the Lions decided they weren't going to retain him. He's coming to the Giants in the hopes that a fresh start will be just what the doctor ordered. Now, granted, in the spring, there is no bump and run. You know, the defensive backs cannot get physical with the corner, with the receivers. But folks, I went back over my notes and I got to be honest with you. Oruwari just looked a step behind, you know, in the drills when covering. He looked unsure of himself. Now, I don't know if that's because he's struggling to learn the defense or what, but I just didn't see that confidence or that swagger. And again, I go back to the cornerback spot. So you figure your quarterbacks are probably going to be Deontay Banks, Adoree Jackson, which is two. Aaron Robinson should make it three. Cordell Flott should make it four. And then maybe one of Trey Hawkins or Javarius Owens. Owens is a defensive back. He could play safety or corner. Maybe one of those guys, which gives you six. So where's Oruwari going to fit in? I'm not sure he does. So if I remember correctly, he was signed to a one-year veteran minimum deal too. So if he doesn't make the roster, again, not a lot of dead money should hit the cap. All right. So that leads us to the one position that I really, you know, when I was trying to figure out which guy I think is most on the bubble, I had a hard time with this. So let me tell you the position. Inside linebacker. And the guys that I was looking at included Micah McFadden, Carter Coughlin, and Cam Brown. One of those three is not making this roster. Which one? That's what I'm having deciding. What I'm going to need training camp to really look at. Now, here is a few thoughts on the subject. Last year, Micah McFadden was thrown into a starting role when the Giants were having all those problems at inside linebacker, and he couldn't keep it. So now you say to yourself, okay. Was it because the kid just wasn't ready and, you know, he gets a mulligan because of the situation and how dire it was? Or did we see, you know, the best that he could bring? And is he more of a special teamer? That's a question that needs to be answered. Carter Coughlin, I think, went through the same thing, was tried out there in that inside linebacker role. Didn't work out. Cam Brown is mainly a special teams player. He was a special teams captain. He was a core special teamer. They love his length and his athleticism. You know, I would like to see them move him back to gunner, to be honest with you. I don't know why they took him off of gunner last year. Does he maybe get bumped out since he doesn't really contribute as much on the defense? So that was the dilemma I was facing. I wasn't sure which one of those guys to include on this list. So something for me to look at and revisit once we get into training camp and the pads go on and I have a few days worth of notes to, you know, maybe draw a better conclusion. But I wanted to, you know, mention that last position since I did talk about it at the start of the show. So that's my list. Did I miss anybody? Is there anybody that you disagree with? Drop me a line, put a comment in the, you know, if you're watching on YouTube, put a comment below. And let me know. All right, coming up next, I have two questions submitted from the listeners. So don't go anywhere. I'll be right back. All right, Giant fans, welcome back to the Locked On Giants podcast. I'm your host, Patricia Traina. And now I'm going to answer a couple of listener submitted questions. These were sent in via the Locked On Giants podcast subtext community. Again, that was what I referenced earlier in the show, details of which are in the show notes. And by the way, you could also send me questions on Twitter. You can send me questions via email. I still answer those. The subtext, though, like I said, they come right to my phone. It's a little easier. So this way I don't miss anything. I don't have to worry about stuff going into spam mail, you know, which I've seen happen, unfortunately. I don't know why that happens, but it has happened. But this is, you know, just another way to get in touch with me if you want to, of course. So this question comes from John Pettorino. Hope I said that correctly, who opines that that he's not convinced that the offensive line is complete. And it looks like he's concerned about the interior of the offensive line. All right. John, Andrew Thomas, Evan Neal, they are pretty much locks at tackle. I think we can all agree that John Michael Schmitz is going to be a lock at center. The guard positions are still a work in progress. I think I mentioned earlier in the show that Joshua Zudu, I just get the feeling that they want for him to win that left the guard's position. If he is healthy, I think he's the favorite, the incumbent. Now, Glowinski on the right side, he had his struggles last year, but I don't see him going anywhere this year. Now, what I could see happening is if you start to see guys rotating in at left guard or guys rotating in at right guard, that's a sure sign that they're trying to get these younger guys ready for potential full-time duty down the line. So I would agree with your basic premise that the offensive line rebuild is not yet complete, because the guard spots still have some questions regarding that. But the two tackle spots, you know, assuming Evan Neal takes that big leap that we're all hoping he takes, Andrew Thomas should be fine. John Michael Schmitz should be fine. They have guys now, they have depth that I think will suffice. But yeah, down the line, they're going to have to do something about the guards. No question about it. So your hunch is correct, I think, about this line not being a finished project. So thank you, John, for that question. I appreciate it. All right, this next question comes from Maddie Brown. And he says, in retrospect, was there a move that the Giants made or didn't make this past offseason that you feel they should have gone in the other direction? Ooh, good question, Maddie. I was a little surprised that they did not add an edge rusher. I understand why they didn't. They put more emphasis on the back end of the defense, which I'm guessing they hope will solve, you know, or allow the front seven to finish their pass rushes. I was surprised that one of Nick Gates or John Feliciano wasn't kept on for at least another year. I mean, I knew that they were going to probably draft a center, but I figured they would keep a veteran on board to kind of ease Schmitz or whoever they drafted at center into the mix. But, you know, that's not the case. In retrospect, I guess that's not a big deal, because the more reps Schmitz gets now with Daniel Jones, you know, starting in the spring, they should be good to go, I would think, by September. So I think maybe keeping a veteran around would have been detrimental to the young center's development. I want to say, I feel a little bit better about the cornerback position, but I just feel like I would feel better if there was another guy that really jumped out. So that would be kind of a move that I was surprised at, I guess. You know, because Amani Awarari, you know, I understood why they signed him, you know, what their hope was that maybe he, you know, a fresh start would do him well. But yeah, I think, you know, I wonder if they could have gone in a different direction there. So yeah, I think the biggest surprise, like I said, was an edge rusher. Because, okay, you got Azeez Ojulari, you got Kayvon Thibodeau. They re-signed Jihad Ward, who can give them pass rushing snaps. They've got Tamon Fox, Ellerson Smith, Ryder Anderson, I think, can give them some pass rushing snaps. Not a whole lot proven there. And I keep going back to the days when the Giants were three deep minimum at edge rusher. And I don't know for sure that they are three deep right now. Certainly not like, you know, the days of a Tuck OC and Strahan, or a JPP OC and Tuck. You know, I don't think the Giants have that. Now, maybe I'm wrong. Maybe that will develop. I hope I'm wrong. But that's really the one area that I just was surprised that they didn't address. So I'm going to be curious. We're supposed to hear from the coordinators this week at OTA number 7. Nine, excuse me. So I'm going to be curious to hear, you know, what Wink Martindale has to say about that. Because my hunch again is that, you know, improve the back end of the defense and hope that the front end can get home. Or who knows, maybe the plan is to get the secondary more involved with blitzes. You know, maybe they have guys that they feel can blitz and get home to the quarterback. And then, of course, let's not forget that, you know, Leonard Williams and Dexter Lawrence can push the pocket and get into the backfield. So maybe the Giants felt that they had enough and they could get by with not adding, you know, another Blue Goose pass rusher. I think the depth's a little dim. I mean, if Ojulari or Thibodeau get hurt, that would be a concern for me. But I don't get paid to make that decision. That's up to them to make it. So we'll see how it plays out. All right, Giant fans, that's going to do it for us on today's Locked On Giants podcast. Thank you so much for tuning in, making us your first listen of the day, or of watching on YouTube, your first watch of the day. Make sure you tune in tomorrow for an all new episode of the Locked On Giants podcast. We'll see you then.